Hello, spooky people. Welcome back to the Normal for the Spider podcast. I am your host, Mel. I'm a professional tarot reader and spiritual mentor, and I love all things horror and Halloween related. So with that vibe in mind, of course, today I'm going to be talking about something I've always been super interested in, which is the way that Hollywood portrays witches and witchcraft. I definitely want to make this little series and explore different films in the future, but today we are kicking it off with none other than The Craft. The Craft premiered in 1996 here in America and is directed by Andrew Fleming. It is described as a horror/mystery movie. IMDb says it's rated R, which I honestly find kind of interesting. I definitely feel like it could be PG-13. And good old IMDb sums it up like this. A newcomer to a Catholic prep high school falls in with a trio of outcast teenage girls who practice witchcraft, and they all soon conjure up various spells and curses against those who anger them. And in a very roundabout way, that's definitely what the film is about. I think it contains a lot more depth than that. The representation in this movie is very empowering and nice to see as a woman, as a witch. And then we have some of our main characters dealing with mental health issues, self-image and body image issues, abuse, bullying, terrible upbringings. This is actually not a movie I watched as a kid because it's not overtly a horror. When I was especially younger, even though this may sound messed up to some, I wanted the slashery stuff. I wanted the gory stuff. I was looking for Chucky and paranormal stuff that was super scary, like The Ring. I feel like it wasn't until I was a teenager with a Tumblr account that I actually started watching, you know, some of these more cult classic type of movies. And so by that time, I had dealt with a lot of those issues that the main characters, the four girls in the coven, share and relate to each other on. So it did make me feel less alone. And I was a practicing witch at this time too, and it was still something that I didn't advertise, you know? So there is nostalgia for me when I watch this because I'm like, oh my God, I remember when that was me and I just had to learn to become more unapologetic because I was tired of hiding. So we are kind of seeing this movie through the eyes of Sarah. She is the first one we meet. She is the newcomer. She's moving to her new house with her dad. And it's in this opening scene that we get our first taste of real witchcraft depicted in the movie. Sarah sees a snake when the taxi is bringing her to her new home. Snakes are symbols of great power in magic. But snakes can also represent that sneaky, backstabby type of energy. And both turn out to be relevant here for Sarah because of the group she's about to get entangled with. And as a person in the real world seeking spiritual signs off screen, that's how they happen. They are subtle, but you will learn later on through circumstance or through contemplating within that it meant something and that it was a message for you. Then we meet the group of three established witches that Sarah is going to be introduced to, and they are Nancy, Bonnie, and Rochelle. We cut away from Sarah seeing the snake during her move-in process and see these three girls just in it with spell work. I think they're sitting on the floor of someone's bedroom. They've got the whole beautiful multiple altar set up. There's ritual knives and metal goblets and pentagrams. And a chant that goes like this. Now is the time, this is the hour, ours is the magic, ours is the power. And that's incredibly similar to how I run a spell in my practice. Repeated words, sentences, affirmations, they keep your mind focused. You're training your brain to align with actions that bring you to your purpose. And the physical aspect of what you're doing, or these witches in the movie are doing, means you're combining your intention with a physical action. You're working that energy into reality, whether you're making a candle, charging a goblet of water before drinking from it, etc. So I just love how realistic that was. They really, really get that right in this movie. Moving forward, once we get some clips of the three witches at school, they're talking about looking for a fourth witch to make a circle slash represent all four elements so they can call the quarters together. Is calling the quarters and honoring all four elements in spell work realistic? Absolutely. Do you need four people to cast a circle? No. Those are things that you could do with yourself and yourself alone. But the concept is there. The production team working on this film actually hired a witchcraft advisor. Her name is Pat Devon, and she's a high priestess of Gardnerian Wicca. And she's quoted from an interview in 1997 saying, "My goal for the rituals and chants was that they be authentic, if generic, and that they contain nothing that could not easily be found in at least two books or plausibly created by teenage girls." But not everyone in the witchcraft community agreed with her methods or with the movie being made at all. Ren Walker, co-founder of The Witch's Voice, which was an insanely popular pagan, witchy networking website in the late 90s, thought it was a problem that the general public audience of the film would not be able to discern the real witchcraft from the fake witchcraft, and therefore they would get the wrong ideas. What happens next in the film is an example of something that looks rooted in reality, but isn't. Which is when Bonnie sees Sarah balancing her pencil right on the point on her desk in class. Now, of course, witches do not have telekinetic power to move things without touching them. But sure, it's a fun thought. It makes me think of 2020 witch talk. Let me know if you were there, because damn. There was this trend where people were pushing crystals off their hands telekinetically, but of course, they were just drooping their fingers a little bit and letting it fall off. Another wild spiritual TikTok trend from that time was when people were making videos about quote-unquote shifting into fictional universes like Hogwarts. And it's like, babe, you were just doing a guided meditation, okay? But anyway, Sarah eventually joins the group, and they're taking her to their favorite metaphysical shop, they're showing her the ropes, and Bonnie says to her at one point how she should put all her spells and thoughts and record other instances of her powerful moments into a book of shadows. And she has this cute little quip about how no one should read it except maybe us, your coven members. Is that true? No. You can share your book of shadows with whoever you'd like. But I do really enjoy the practice of keeping them secret and completely sacred to just me. I'll have pieces that are just informational or that I edit to be just informational and share online. But as far as the entirety of the collection, which I've had going for over a decade, you know, I'm not letting friends borrow it or leaving it at work, for example. Ooh, and this is another big one I was excited to talk about. There is some discussion in the movie about being a natural witch. And do I think that people's ancestry gives them an inclination to certain things? Well, yeah, of course it does. But if you don't know or haven't been told about any witches in your family, that does not mean that you cannot practice. The practice of looking within and being mindful and doing spells is accessible to anyone. Nancy starts talking about how divinity is ubiquitous. It's like God, the devil, and nature. And I think that's beautiful, and it's something I very much agree with. But then the success of her manifestations and the spiritual signs she's gotten thus far start to go to her head. And she wants all that divine power. In the movie, they refer to it as a deity named Manon. She wants him to enter her and make it all better. They're all in circle making these big intentions known to the universe. So that's Nancy's. Sarah's is basically for this boy named Chris to fall in love with her. Bonnie's is to be beautiful on the inside as well as outside. She has a lot of scars and she doesn't feel beautiful or desirable because of it. And Rochelle's was to stop her racist bullies. And again, here in this sequence, we get some beautiful moments of true magic. They're holding hands in a circle, summoning the quarters, and they ask each other, "How do you enter?" And then the other responds with perfect love and perfect trust. And they use an athame to declare, "As above, so below." They close the circle with "Blessed be," which is a very popular closing term in Wicca. And then a bunch of butterflies flies right up to them. And then Nancy's like, "It's Manon, he's everywhere." And of course, things go wrong. That actually makes it a cautionary tale in a lot of ways, because this movie teaches us to be careful what we wish for, because we just might get it. But yes, it's true, there is gravity to magic, and I don't implore anybody to go around casting hexes for no reason or wishing terrible things upon people and not thinking of how it might play out or the consequences. It's funny because this movie came out in the late 90s and the conversation around magic was very Wiccan. And at the time, that meant that people sought initiation more often than practicing themselves. They relied on higher rank members of covens or orders of priests and priestesses. So many were worried that this movie would draw teenagers to occultism and that it would make them vulnerable to predators. There's a podcast I love called Coffee and Cauldrons, and one of the hosts, Robin, always makes sure to talk about the nasty people that can sometimes end up in pagan spaces and the many ways in which they could abuse their power. Without totally spoiling the ending of the movie, if you've not watched it, I think the takeaway here is certainly for young people interested in witchcraft to tread lightly. There are great examples of what to do and where to go for information in this film and in the lore surrounding it. The characters in the film talk a lot about the threefold law of Wicca, which is basically that anything you do will come back to you times three. I don't necessarily agree with the threefold law or rule, but different things keep different people in their good conscience. It's definitely important to know your moral code and stick to it when you are practicing magic that could affect other people's lives as well as your own. This definitely opens up an interesting conversation. I mean, when is it okay to hex, curse, actually wish the worst upon somebody? And I think that answer is going to be different for everyone. Hex your abuser, absolutely. Wishing undue harm on someone just for cutting you off in traffic, maybe not so much. Thank you so much for tuning in to this episode of Normal for the Spider. If you have any further questions, comments, concerns, requests, I will absolutely be taking those. You can find all my info in the little description box under this episode. And I can't wait to talk to you next week. So long.